हरे कृष्ण। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपीजनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपीजनवल्लभा गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपीजनवल्लभा। यशोदानन्दन व्रजजन रञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन व्रजजन रञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन व्रजजन रञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन व्रजजन रञ्जन। यमुनातीरावनचारी, यमुनातीरावनचारी, यमुनातीरावनचारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभु। नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल, नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल, नित्य गौर हरि बोल।
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिभुजगचार्य सूत्र सदृशी श्रीमद श्रीपाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। समावित भक्त वृंद की जय। निधाय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल हरे कृष्ण। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. Reading from 6th canto, chapter 9, verse 39. Again, this verse also is in prose. I'll try to read. Athaha vava tava mahimamrita rasa samudra viprusha sakrit avalidhaya swamanasi nishyandamana ಅನವರತ ಸುಖೇನ ವಿಷಾಮೃತ ದೃಷ್ಟ ಶ್ರುತ ವಿಷಯ ಸುಖ ಲೇಷಾಭಾಸ ಪರಮ ಭಗವತ ಏಕಾಂತಿನೋ ಭಗವತಿ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಪ್ರಿಯಾ ಸುಹೃದಿ ಸರ್ವಾತ್ಮನಿ ನಿಧರಂ ನಿರಂತರಂ ನಿವೃತ ಮನಸಃ ಕಥಂ ಊಹ ವಾ ಏತೆ ಮಧುಮಥನ ಪುನಃ ಸ್ವಾರ್ಥ ಕುಶಲ ಹಿ ಆತ್ಮ ಪ್ರಿಯ ಸುಹೃದ ಸಾಧವಸ್ತ್ವಚ್ ಶರಣಾಂಬುಜ ಅನುಸೇವಂ ವಿಷ್ಟುಜಂತಿ ನಯತ್ರ ಪುನರ್ ಆಯಂ ಸಂಸಾರ ಪರ್ಯವರ್ತಃ. ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲಿಟರೇಷನ್, ದೆನ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಪರ್ಟ್. ಲಾಂಗ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ಅಥಾಹ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ Vava, indeed, Tava, your Mahima of glories, Amrita of the nectar, Rasa of the mellow, Samudra of the ocean, Viprusha by a drop, Sakrit only once, avalidhaya tasted, swamanasi in his mind, nishyandamana flowing, anavarata continuously, sukhena by the transcendental bliss, vishmarita forgotten, drishta from material sight, shruta and sound, vishaya sukha of the material happiness, lesha abhasaha the dim reflection of a tiny portion, parama bhagavataha great exalted devotees, ekantinaha who have faith only in the Supreme Lord and nothing else, bhagavati in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sarvabhuta to all living entities, priya who is dearmost, Suhridi, the friend, Sarva Atmani, the super soul of all, Nitaram, completely, Nirantaram, continuously, Nivritha, with happiness, Manasaha, those whose minds, Katham, how, Uha, then, va, or, ethe, these, madhu mathana, O killer of the madhu demon, punaha, again, sva artha kushalaha, who are expert in the interest of life, He indeed, Atma Priya Suhrida, who have accepted you as a super soul, dearmost lover and friend. Sadhavaha, the devotees, Tvat Charanambuja Anosevam, service to the lotus feet of your lordship. Vishrijanti, can give up. Na, not. Yatra, wherein. Punaha, again. Ayam, this. Samsara Paryavartaha, repetition of birth and death within this material world. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. Free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. Offering their minds unto you and enjoying transcendental bliss, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees who never need return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? Although non-devotees, because of their meager knowledge and speculative habits, cannot understand the real nature of the Lord, a devotee who has once tasted the nectar from the Lord's lotus feet can realize what transcendental pleasure there is in the Lord's devotional service. A devotee knows that simply by rendering service to the Lord, he serves everyone. And therefore, devotees are real friends to all living entities. Only a pure devotee can preach the glories of the Lord for the benefit of all conditioned souls. Om Jnana Tibirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam. So thank you all for joining for this Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are still in the 9th chapter, the 6th canto. Text 39. So as you know, the demigods are offering prayers to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu has personally come and they are offering him prayers, all the demigods. And the emergency that the demigods are facing is the ferocious, you know, unconquerable demon Rudrasura, who is practically, you know, vanquishing them. And in such a helpless, hopeless condition, they approach the Supreme Lord Vishnu, you know, for some relief. Of course, before they actually make their petition of getting relief from Rudrasura and then getting their kingdom back, they are offering prayers of glorification to the Supreme Lord. And in this specific verse, they're actually glorifying the pure devotees of the Lord, the demigods. So, as we have understood, so the demigods are also devotees. In the next purport, Prabhupada explains, broadly there are two kinds of devotees. Akama devotees and Sarvakama devotees. So, some of the demigods, they fall in this category, where they're not exclusively desiring for pure devotional service. They have other desires. And of course, since they are pious, they are devotees of the Lord, they take their desires to the Supreme Lord. So, we should give them credit. Prabhupada gives them credit. And in a way, we can understand them quite well, because that is our condition. Srimad Bhagavatam discusses, Akama sarvakamo va mokshukama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one has no material desires, or one has all material desires, or one has desire for liberation, in all conditions, the recommendation is to perform tivra bhakti unto whom? Purusham param, yajeta purusham param, unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. So this is the recommendation. And the power of pure devotional service, the power of bhakti, tivra bhakti, will bring us to the platform of akama bhakti, you know, like, which is anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttam. There is mishra bhakti, means mixed devotional service, and then there is pure devotional service. So we are all followers of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami has coined this verse, anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam. And these words, of course, is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not something that Srila Rupa Goswami picked it up from the sky. He was taught personally, Rupa Goswami, the Goswamis, they were personally taught in pure devotional service by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were instructed to further elaborate, write scriptures on bhakti. As you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, he didn't write many scriptures. Shikshashtakam is one. But he empowered his pure devotee disciples, and in turn, they wrote these transcendental literature. And the essence of, you know, the teachings of Rupa Goswami is this anya vilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. So here, the demigods, so they are, as you can see, they are in knowledge, they are not fools. They know their position. And as yesterday Jai Jagannath Prabhu was sharing, sometimes we use third person, but actually it is our condition. So the demigods here are sharing, they are glorifying the pure devotees, and in a way, by glorifying pure devotees, they are also aspiring for it. They are aspiring for pure devotional service. So they are also like Indra, if you remember earlier, Indra, how he, you know, ridiculed himself. How unfortunate, you know, like when he offended Brihaspati. So here, they are glorifying the pure devotees of the Lord. And we, in this verse, we can see many of the characteristics of the pure devotees. So we'll discuss some of them here. Yeah. And also, so I would like to pick some key, you know, phrases. It's a long verse. Some nice phrases here. Reading the translation. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. So these demigods, there is some standard of happiness in this material realm. But our scriptures describe that the standard of material happiness in the heavenly realms, in the realms of the demigods, is in a million times more than what is available in the earthly realm. Yeah. And the demigods are understanding that actually they are approaching Lord Vishnu for that kind of happiness. They had that kind of happiness. They had the kingdom of God. I mean, the, like the Swargaloka, one can say. And somehow, Prabhupada mentions in the next verse, there is this always this constant, you know, tussle going on between the demigods and the demons. And sometimes the demons, they usurp, you know, the demigods' realm. And then they lose their sense gratification. And then they again strive. They approach Lord Vishnu and then they strive to get it back. But here the demigods are saying, such exalted devotees, pure devotees, they, for them, whatever is available in the material realm, it doesn't touch their heart. It doesn't touch their heart because they are experiencing, you know, the bliss of pure devotional service. And here, Prabhupada is, in the translation, there are two verses. The Supreme Lord, he is compared to the Samudra, the ocean of transcendental bliss. And the verse is saying, somebody has tasted even a drop of the ocean of the transcendental bliss, then they are no longer attracted to these, you know, ephemeral, you know, attractions. So this is one of the qualities of the pure devotees. Like in the Kevalashtakam, it is there, right? Trinikritya jagat sarvam rajate sakalopari. Right? So this whole material manifestation becomes like a trini, like a grass, dry blade of grass. When somebody is experiencing, you know, the bliss of devotional service, chanting the holy names. So this is the condition of the pure devotees. Free from all such desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. So this is another nice phrase here. Yesterday night, as I was going back from the temple, there were some members from the church across. They approached me, and they said, "We are praying for peace. Would you like to?" So they gave me a piece of paper, and then they said, "Would you like to, you know, pray for peace with us?" And then they gave me two choices. I could write the prayer, and then they had a balloon, and then they were going to release the prayer. Or they even invited me to come into the church and offer the prayer. Either way, and I didn't have time, but so I said I'll write something. And then I shared with them a little bit, because they were talking about peace. So I explained to them a little bit about the prayer. ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ಅಸ್ತು ವಿಶ್ವಶ ಕಲಹ ಪ್ರಸೀದತಂ ಧ್ಯಾಯಂತು ಭೂತಾನಿ ಶಿವಂ ಮಿಥೋದಿಯ ಮನಶ್ಚ ಭದ್ರಂ ಭಜತಾ ದದೋಕ್ಷಜೆ ಅವೇಶತಂ ನಮತಿರಭಿ ಅಹೇತುಕಿ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ಅಸ್ತು ವಿಶ್ವಶ. ಸೊ ದ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸೈರಿಂಗ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಿಸೈರಿಂಗ್, ಲೆಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಬಿ ಆಲ್ ಆಸ್ಪೀಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಓವರ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಈಚ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ವೆಲ್ಫೇರ್ ಆಫ್ ಈಚ್ ಅದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ಇನ್ಫ್ಲೂಯೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುನೋ quarrel and strife, let that subside. So this is their prayer. But then they also understand how to achieve, you know, how can this prayer be actually, how can this prayer manifest? They are saying, let us all engage in the devotional service of Krishna. And in this way, people will not think about exploiting each other, but they will actually be thinking of each other's welfare. So I was telling the gentleman, he said, oh, that's a beautiful prayer, please, you know, write it down, and then, you know, we let it go. So here, this translation is saying, free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. So what is the interest of the pure devotees? The interest of the pure devotees is to reawaken or re-establish our eternal relationship with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, when he came here, he said, I have not come here to teach you something new. I have come here to teach you something, remind you something that you have forgotten. So this is the business of the pure devotees. The pure devotees are not saying, worship me. The pure devotees are saying, worship the Supreme Lord Krishna. So they are reconnecting the conditioned soul with their actual friend. Like in Bhagavad Gita it mentioned, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, Lord Krishna, he is the friend of all living entities. And friends, there are different kinds of friends, different levels of friends. Just a casual acquaintance, then there is a little more intimate, Bandhu, and then there is Suhrid. It's really intimate, who wishes your welfare. So Krishna is that well-wishing friend of the living entity. And the pure devotees, they are encouraging the conditioned soul to reconnect with their eternal friend. And simultaneously, they are also educating the conditioned souls, like here it is mentioned, like Govinda Das Kaviraj says, that yedhana yobana putra parijana, that this wealth, this youthhood that you have, you know, your children, your family members, they cannot rescue you ultimately. And then whatever happiness you find in this material world is like the drop of water that is on a lotus petal. You know, what is that substance of it? There is no substance. It is temporary. Anytime, even just a little bit of wind, it blows, the water drop falls off. So Govinda Das Kaviraj is encouraging that this material world, to look for happiness in this material world is like that, or taking shelters. So the pure devotees, they are educating us. They are telling us, they are reconnecting us with our eternal nature, which is Satchidananda. But then they are also telling us, you will not find the happiness that the soul is searching for, looking for, will not be found in this material realm. So that is their main business. So firstly, establishing proper sambandha jnana, establishing the facts. Who am I? What is this material world? What is the spiritual world? Who is the Supreme Lord? What is my relationship with Him? What is my relationship with the world? So they are educating, they are giving us sambandha jnana. And not only that, then they are also giving us abhideya, how to practice, how to act on this knowledge. Like yesterday, there was a question, how to act on this knowledge. And because by acting on this knowledge, as we act on this knowledge, we get a glimpse what the demigods are discussing. We get a glimpse of, you know, a drop of the ocean of bliss that the Supreme Lord is. Krishna's name, one of the names is Rama. Rama is a reservoir of pleasure. So by connecting to the reservoir of pleasure, we experience that. So they're teaching us, like a, you know, well-wishing person, he will teach us Vidya and he'll also teach us Avidya. So they're teaching us Sambandha Gyan, Abhidheya Gyan, and Prayojana. They're also telling us, pure devotees, what will be the result of this? The result of this is, again, firmly being established in our eternal relationship with Krishna. So the goal, in a way, the goal and the journey is the same. It is not any different. So the goal is, you know, pure devotional service. And the journey is also pure devotional service. So this is what the pure devotees are giving. One more thing the pure devotees are giving. Pure devotees are free from all desires. In Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned, right? Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. So there are broadly three categories of men. Bhukti, those who are desiring for sense enjoyment. Mukti, those who are desiring for liberation. Siddhi, those who are desiring for some mystic powers. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, they are all not peaceful. Sakali ashanta. Because there is this hankering, there is a prospect, there is this hankering, and then there is lamentation of not, you know, achieve that, or there is fear of having attained some one of these three things, that it might be taken away. So they are always, you know, disturbed. But Krishna Bhakta Nishkama, Krishna Bhakta, the devotee, is pure devotee. Prabhupada says, devotee means pure devotee. He is Nishkama. Nishkama means, it doesn't mean he doesn't have any desires, he is not a stone. His desire and Krishna's desire is the same. His desire is one with Krishna's desire. What is Krishna's desire for all the living entities? To again engage in his service. Like Bhaktisiddhanta writes, the Supreme Lord, he is forever inviting the conditioned soul into the folds of his devotional service. So that is the desire of the Supreme Lord. And the pure devotees, they make their desire, that desire, one with them. So they are practicing it themselves. And they are giving that gift to others. That's the gift they want to give. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. They are peaceful. They are not hankering, you know, for this or that or the other. They are only hankering for devotional service. Like our acharyas, you know, pray. Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatat Bhakti Rahaita Kitvai. They are only asking for that. And there is one other nice phrase here. The translation. Sva artha kushalam. This is one of the characteristics of the devotee. Sva artha kushalam. Like there's a nice verse also in Bhagavatam, right? Svartha gatham hi Vishnu. What is the real self-interest? So firstly we have to understand what is the self. So as Bhagavad Gita mentions, you know, there is the gross body, there is a subtle body, and above the subtle body is the soul. So the self is the soul. And what is the interest of the self? The interest of the self, the dharma of the self, is to perform devotional service. So sva artha kushalam. So they are very expert in their own self-interest and in educating others in their self-interest. So swartha, typically in colloquial terms, Swartha is considered, you know, like selfish. Artha, artha means what somebody wants, right? Something that is wanted. Sva is the self. So depending on the conception one has about oneself, that one will want. If one is thinking I'm the body, then what is artha is what will be pleasing to the body, the senses, the mind and the intelligence. But if one is, one has a conception, spiritual conception, then one is a soul, then what will be favorable, what will be desirable is what is, you know, what is the soul wanting? Devotional service, relationship with Krishna. So they are very expert. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's expert, I mean, and his followers, they are expertly engaging people from all walks of life. Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaurachanda bole. So they are, you know, waking up. They are waking up the sleeping souls. And they are telling them that this is not your real self-interest. How long will you sleep in this lap of which known as Maya? And then he's saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, who is there, who is your friend besides me? And I have brought this holy name and this devotional service which will uproot, you know, Enechi Aushadhi Maya, which will uproot, which is the medicine for this illusion, illusionary condition we are in. So this is the business, the pure devotees. So they are attracting, you know, conditioned souls from all walks of life. Some are in the mode of ignorance, some are in the mode of passion, some are in the mode of goodness. But it's all in these three realms. And everybody needs devotional service. So they are attracting different conditioned souls. Based on, they are presenting this message of Krishna consciousness in a very expert way, and thus attracting all conditioned souls. Offering their minds unto you. So, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachamshi Vaikuntha Gunana Varnani Bhajahure Mana Sri Nandanandana. So, the pure devotees, so firstly, you know, as the scriptures mention, they are offering their minds, their Manasa, Deha, Geha, Yogichumur, Arpilo Tuva Pada Nandakishore. My mind, my body, my house, my everything is for your devotional service. That's the quality of the pure devotees. And then, so this is a relationship, the last line of the translation. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees. It's a relationship. Again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ambarish Maharaj pastimes, Krishna, Vishnu describes how he feels towards his devotees. So it's a relationship. The devotees, they give their heart to the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord also reciprocates with the devotees. So that's what this verse is discussing. And they never need to return to this material world. This is again mentioned in the scriptures. But of course, for the service of the Lord, they can return. There is a verse in the same section which glorifies this. Narayana para sarve nakutasya bibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyata darshanam. So Maharaj Chitraketu, a little bit about Maharaj Chitraketu, he had everything. He was the ideal king. All the opulences one can, you know, imagine, he had. And all the subjects were very, very happy to follow him as well. But there was only one pinprick. He didn't have an issue. He didn't have a son. And in the monarchical system, the son, he is the next heir to the throne. So it was a problem. And so he had everything in the world, but he didn't have a son. He didn't have any children. So this, you know, pained him to the end. And somehow or the other, Angira Muni and Narada Muni, they come and they ask him. They understand what's the issue already. And then they give him a means to get a son. But they also mention, in a cryptic way, they mention that the son will be named Harshashoka. But he will bring some happiness, he'll say, bring some distress. But anyway, like most parents think, well, that's a part of life, you know. There'll be some happiness, there'll be some distress. What's the big deal? Okay, I'll have a son. So one of the queens, she begets a son. And so, of course, then the queen becomes a special, you know, special of the king. And this is the nature of the material world. The other queens, they become envious of this queen and the small boy. To the extent, so they're burning, raging with envy, to the extent that they poison the child, they kill the child. So that much envy is there. And of course, you know, King Chitraketu is devastated again. And into such a scene comes, they come again, Narada Muni and Angira Muni, skipping many details. And then they request the child to speak transcendental knowledge. And the child begins to speak. Essentially he says, you know, which life? Who is my father? Who is my mother? I've had so many lives. He tells them about the soul, Maharaj Chitraketu. So he gives him transcendental knowledge. And eventually, by the mercy of Narada Muni, he gets, you know, the seed of devotional service, and he becomes an exalted devotee, Mahabhagavat, Uttam Adhikari Vaishnava, Maharaj Chitraketu. And then one time, as he's, you know, going in his airplane, he sees Lord Shiva. He's sitting on, you know, he's sitting, and then are assembled many, many, you know, sages, great sages, renunciates. And he's speaking to them about renunciation. But then what also was happening was Maharaj, Lord Shiva, he had Parvati Devi, his consort, sitting in his lap. And he was in this august assembly, he was, you know, showing her affection. So of course the sages and all, they didn't think too much about it. They were just absorbed in hearing Lord Shiva. And Maharaj Chitraketu, who was, you know, hovering in the aeroplane, he looked at Lord Shiva and he made a comment, which was actually, he was glorifying Lord Shiva, but like he was saying, look, you know, he was saying that sense control, he was glorifying Lord Shiva's sense control, that he can have his consort on his lap and still be not disturbed. But of course, it could be understood as some, you know, as the opposite as well. That look at Lord Shiva, he is speaking about sense control, but then he has his own consort in his lap. So Parvati Devi, that's how she understands Maharaj Chitraketu's, you know, speech. And she curses him, you know, to be born as a demon. And immediately Maharaj Chitraketu, he comes down and he offers obeisances. He doesn't, you know, protest, oh, that's not what I meant, this is what I meant, that. And then he accepts the curse and then he leaves. And then after that, Lord Shiva, he's glorifying Maharaj Chitraketu. And he says, quotes this verse, that the devotees of the Lord, Narayana Parasarva, they are fearless. They can be in the heavenly realms, they can be in the hellish realms, they can be apavarga, they can be beyond the realms of heaven and hell, in the transcendental realm. For them, all of it is vitulyata, they are all same in terms of value. So it's not that they don't know what's the value of what, but they are engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord. You know, they already have that. And wherever they go, that's what they're doing. So in a way, the circumstance, the externals, they don't make a difference at all to their consciousness. They are fixed in this consciousness of pure devotional service. And so it's a swarga, fine, pure devotional service. Apavarga, fine. If you want me to come back to Godhead, fine. If you want me to go to the hellish realms, like Yamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans. He never hears the holy name in the hellish realm. That's when the Ajamila pastime, when he hears the Yamadutas speaking Narayana, he's ecstatic. He's very happy to hear the holy name. But that's a service, Yamaraj, for the Supreme Lord. They are fearless and they are serving anywhere. Yeah. So they never return to this material. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? So yes, they don't. The pure devotees of the Lord, they don't give up engagement in their devotional service of the Lord. The circumstances don't hamper them. Whatever is the circumstance, they engage in pure devotional service. So I'd like to pause here and see if there is any discussion. After that, I'd like to speak a little bit about Srimati Sita Thakurani. I'll read mostly from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today is her appearance day. Sita Thakurani is the consort of Advaita Acharya. So any discussion, any comments, questions, anything? Yeah, Jai Jagannath. There a mic? Say that again. Sakratya. Does that mean we are not hearing Harikatha?
I'll come into classes and my attraction is still very in a healthy condition. So does it mean I'm not hearing then?
So the,
and if so, then what's the problem? What's going on?
So the question is, here it is mentioned that the word sakrit comes. That even only once, even if once one tastes, you know, the glories of the Lord, then of all one's attraction to the material world, it finishes. It's over. And so many of us have been performing devotional service, you know, for many, many years. We've been hearing regularly, chanting. But we find that there is still attraction to this material world. So does that mean that, you know, we are not hearing, or what does that mean? That's the question. Well, yes and no. There is one beautiful quote, you know, from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on chanting the holy name, where he talks about, I wish I had that. He talks about, you know, the material senses and the spiritual senses. Where he says that initially, the senses, you know, they quabble amongst themselves. They resist giving oral reception to the holy name. or Krishna Katha. And so it doesn't really touch. So whatever we are hearing, it doesn't really touch, you know, the our spiritual senses. It doesn't touch that. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, but when that happens, then, you know, all the other senses, they cooperate, you know, with the ear, you know, which is the main conduit, one can say, for transcendental knowledge, for Harikatha. So he mentions that. That's one, you know, one thing that comes to mind. Another is, you know, pure devotional service. It is a gradual process. The layers of anarthas that we have accumulated over lifetimes, for pure devotional service, for the holy name to penetrate through all that and touch, you know, the spiritual senses, the para indriyas. You know. So we have to understand that that's the process. So it's not that we are not hearing or the attraction is not awakening. There is some attraction is there, but there is an attraction to this material realm as well. Because Bhagavad Gita also mentions, you know, Yeshan Twanta Katam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam Tedvanta Mohanir Mukta Vajante Mam Dhradavata. Many places in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, then devotional service begins. Then real devotional service begins. So then what we are currently doing, is that not devotional service? No, it is also devotional service. You know? But then the devotional service that is engaged, you know, with the para indriyas, one can say. So there are these senses. Beneath these senses are the para indriyas. The spiritual senses. That is real devotional service. But then how do we unearth these para indriyas? How do we uncover them? We uncover these para indriyas by engaging, you know, these indriyas in the service of the Lord. It's like the iron rod that becomes like the fire. Iron rod by nature is not the fire. But when you put the iron rod in the fire, it becomes like fire. So similarly, these, you know, one can say these jada indriyas, jodendriya tahe kal, gyanendriyas, karmendriyas, when we engage these gyanendriyas or karmendriyas, mind, intelligence, in the service of the Lord, then one, you know, one gains the para indriyas, like the material intelligence, the spiritual intelligence. So they are counterparts. So that to the extent the spiritual intelligence or the pare indriyas awaken, the, you know, these indriyas, they subside. Like that. So it's a gradual process. Yeah. So that's what I would share. And what gets in the way of awakening our, you know, spiritual senses? Firstly, there are desires. We have other desires. That's one. And then, as we are performing devotional service, then we are also performing some aparadhas. We're performing some offenses while chanting the holy name, while hearing. So then that devotional service, that offense, devotional service that is still, you know, there has offenses, done with offenses, that also gives rise to anarthas. So while devotional service is cutting, so there are different stages of cutting, like Madhurya Kadambini. So it is cutting anarthas, but then our, you know, aparadha filled devotional service, it gives rise to more anarthas, so to speak. So we are not able to, get to that, realm, as you're saying, that even once, if we experience the bliss of devotional service, all our attraction is finished. So yeah, that's what I feel. Anybody else, you would like to add something? Anyone else would like to share their realizations on this? From Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. You can find that quote on chanting. Do you know what I'm talking about? The chanting, the quote on chanting. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. Yeah, that's very beautiful in his language. Okay, anything else? If not, then I'll just quickly read a little bit from. Chaitanya Charitamrita biography. So all of you here, I'm assuming you all know Advaita Acharya, right? Anybody doesn't know Advaita Acharya? So Advaita Acharya's consort is Sita Thakurani. So today is her appearance day. We'll read a little bit about her. Srimati Sita Thakurani is to be worshipped just as much as Sachi Devi. Sachi Devi is the mother of Lord Chaitanya, as the mother of the universe. She is the eternal wife of Sri Advaita Acharya. She was the daughter of Sri Narsingha Bhaduri. She was married to Sri Advaita Acharya in Phulia. After their wedding, Advaita Acharya went to Nadia to live in Shantipur. Sita Thakurani was always absorbed in Vatsalya Prema for Sri Gaurasundara Prabhu. So the rasa between Sita Thakurani and Lord Chaitanya, she was in parental affection towards Lord Chaitanya. And out of parental concern, used to instruct Jagannath Mishra on how to care for the boy. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described the birth celebration at the house of Jagannath Mishra upon the advent of the Lord, giving special attention to the position of Sri Sita Thakurani, Advaita Acharya's wife. Worshipable by all the three worlds was Sita Thakurani. Taking the Acharya's order on her head, she had come to take a look at this new child, this jewel of jewels, and to offer him presents. So as we know, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur were fervently praying for the Lord to advent. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, like Krishna, when before Krishna appeared, his associates, the demigods, they appeared before him in Raja. So similarly, some of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they appeared before him. Advaita Acharya was one of them, and Sita Thakurani, his wife, was one of them. So this is the scene as Lord Chaitanya Nimai is just born and Sita Thakurani is going to the house of Jagannath Mishra. On the eve of his son's advent, Sri Jagannath Mishra, seeing the imminent signs of his child's arrival, sent word to Advaita Acharya in Shantipur that the long-awaited child was being born. Hearing news of the advent of this unprecedented child, Advaita Acharya floated in the waves of ecstasy. With Sri Haridas Thakur, he went to bathe in the river, and after much dancing and song, he sent his wife to go quickly to Mayapur, Navadvip. So who is Sita Thakurani? According to Gaura Gunadesh Deepika, Sri Sita Thakurani is Yoga Maya. It says that she was Purnamasi, the mother of Sandipani Muni, the grandmother of Madhu Mangal and Nandi Mukhi, and a disciple of Narada Muni. So this is her position in Krishna Leela. In Dwapara Yuga, so when Krishna was born, it's mentioned, in Dwapara Yuga, during the celebration of Krishna's birth ceremony, she was present in the house of Nanda, and at that time gave Nanda and Yashoda many instructions on how to care for the child. The Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the following account of Sita Thakurani's visit to the house of Jagannath Mishra after the birth of the Lord. So, I'll read. One day shortly after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya's wife Sita Devi, who is worshipable by the whole world, taking permission of her husband, went to see the topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presents. She brought different kinds of golden ornaments, including bangles for the hands, armlets, necklaces and anklets. There was also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed silken saris, and a child's garment also made of silk. Many other riches, including gold and silver coins, were also presented for the child. Riding in a palanquin covered with cloth and accompanied by maid servants, Sita Thakurani came to the house of Jagannath Mishra, bringing with her many auspicious articles such as fresh grass, paddy, gorochana, turmeric, kumkum, and sandalwood. All these presentations filled a big basket. When Sita Thakurani came to the house of Sachi Devi, bringing with her many kinds of eatables, dresses, and other gifts, she was astonished to see the newly born child, for she appreciated that except for a difference in color, the child was directly Krishna of Gokula himself. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the Lord, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs and resembling a form of gold, Sita Thakurani was very much pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. She blessed the newly born child by placing fresh grass and paddy on his head and saying, "May you be blessed with a long duration of life." But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name Nimai. On the day that the mother and son took bath and left the maternity room, Sita Thakurani gave them all kinds of ornaments and garments, and then also honored Jagannath Mishra. Then Sita Thakurani, being honored by Mother Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, was very happy within her mind, and thus she returned home. So now, Advaita Acharya had two homes, one in Shantipur area and one in Navadvip area. Jagannath Mishra, if you ever go to Mayapur, when you go to Mayapur, there is Jagannath Mishra's home, right almost a stone throw away is Srivas Angan, then Advaita Bhavan, and then Gadadhar Bhavan. So all four houses, four of the five Panchatattvas are right there. So when we hear that Vishwaroop, Lord Chaitanya's elder brother, would go and hear from Advaita Acharya, so he was residing in Navadvip area, right next to Lord Chaitanya's home. But he had also another home in Shantipur. So here it seems they were in Shantipur, and then she came specifically when he was born. From that day on, Sri Sita Thakurani would often come to Mayapur from Shantipur in order to teach Sachi Mata how to care for the new baby. She would give her many different instructions on how to raise children. And after helping with the child in this way, she would return to Shantipur. When it came time for the child's birthday ceremony, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi let the worshipable Sita Thakurani be the first to offer the child his new clothes. Advaita Acharya also had a house in Navadvip. There he would live from time to time and discuss Krishna Katha with the devotees headed by Srivas, diving and surfacing in the waves of joy until the break of dawn. After Sri Gaurasundara's appearance, all the devotees prayed together with Sri Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani that the child might live long in Mayapur and have good fortune. Now, the relationship between Sita Thakurani and Sachi Devi. Sita Thakurani and Sachi Devi were of one mind. The baby Nimai was their life and soul. Every day, Sita Thakurani would go to the house of Sachi Devi and help her with the care and nurturing of the boy. In the house of Jagannath Mishra, the divine child increased the pleasure of the eyes and minds of all the devotees, just as the waxing moon gradually grows more brilliant with each passing day. Now, after several years, when Jagannath Mishra's son Vishwaroop, Nimai's older brother, had grown up, he suddenly took sannyas. The grief and agony of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi upon their son's leaving was great. Gaurasundara was also dismayed and unhappy at his brother's separation. At that time, Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani consoled Jagannath Mishra, and Sita Thakurani helped them take care of Nimai. One can imagine, yeah. Vishwaroop, their son, leaves and devastated in separation. And Sita Thakurani, she took care of Nimai. Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini Devi, also was always very affectionate towards the child, nurturing him and caring for him. She and Sachi Devi were of one mind in doing this. Some more paragraphs. After exhibiting his childhood pastimes, Nimai gradually progressed into his Kishora Lila, or pastimes of youth. After some time, he went to Gaya and revealed his true form and real purpose. Having returned from Gaya, he gathered all the devotees of the house of Srivas Angan for the purpose of beginning Kirtan. At that time, Advaita Acharya brought Sita Thakurani from Shantipur to Mayapur, and having arrived there, was the first to worship the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya. Gradually, Sri Gaurasundara began in Navadvip to unfold his Kirtan pastimes, wishing to deliver the fallen souls. As time went by, he took sannyas and turned his face towards Vrindavan and ran off, half mad, into the jungle in search for Sri Krishna. Upon hearing this, Sri Sita Thakurani spent 4 days with Sachi Devi, who plunged in the darkness of separation as if the sun had left the sky forever, lay fallen on the ground like one near death. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being bound by the ropes of love, was unable to go to Vrindavan, but was drawn to return to Shantipur. When he arrived in Shantipur, Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani felt as if their life had returned. After having fasted for 4 days, Sri Gaurasundara accepted prasada cooked by the hand of Sita Thakurani. Previous to taking sannyas also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Nityananda Prabhu, would from time to time go to the house of Advaita in Shantipur, where they would have a festival and perform Krishna Nama Lila Kirtan all day and night. The beautiful nature of this subject has been described by Parameshwari Das Thakur in his Sri Pada Kalpataru. Hearing the words of Mahaprabhu, the devotee, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to live in Jagannath Puri, Sri Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani used to go and visit him each year, bringing their son Achyutananda. So they would go to Jagannath Puri, they would bring their son Achyutananda with them. On one such occasion, Sita Thakurani prepared some of the Lord's favorite preparations for him and invited him to their home to take lunch. Simply to increase their ecstasy, the Lord, who was always absorbed in Krishna Nam, honored their invitation and took lunch in the home of Advaita and Sita Thakurani. Sita Thakurani, being always overwhelmed with Vatsalya Prema, motherly affection, treated him as affectionately as if he were her own son. The Lord himself also treated her with the same kind of regard and affection that he had for Sachi Devi herself. Sita Thakurani bore 3 sons, Achyutananda, Krishna Mishra and Gopal Mishra, who were followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, last paragraph, Sri Sita Thakurani's father was Sri Narsingh Bhaduri. Sita Thakurani also had a sister, Sri. Sita Thakurani, the wife of Sri Advaita Acharya, is Yogamaya. As we heard, Purnamasi. Sri Srimati Sita Thakurani Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Have a wonderful Saturday, Sunday. Hare Krishna. Say that again. It was actually compilation from different sources. But
you did it? You put it together?
I get the email from Vaishnava calendar.
Oh.
But it is in Chaitanya Charitam. Some of it is from